Hey guys, and welcome to episode 3 of Articulating BPD and Me. For those of you who are just joining in, I'm Rochelle, and in 2020 I was diagnosed with borderline personality disorder, as well as a few others. And I think the main thing that I wanted to get out of this was not only figuring out myself on this journey, but allowing other people to understand. So I actually wasn't meant to record today, and I'm in my little home setup studio here. I had this moment, actually, no, I had this day, this immensely difficult day, where I think since getting diagnosed, I've been able to kind of distinguish, you know, elements of me or elements of the borderline personality. I'm nowhere near the greatest at this, and I'm assuming I'd be a lot better at this after the therapy, but you know, I had this day where I was able to just get on with it and not have a moment and not have a freak out. And the entire day, all I wanted to do was rip my hair out and scream and cry, because in my head, it was a non-stop negative spiral. It was this war against myself. I had every part of my brain telling me I wasn't worth being here. I shouldn't do this. What are you doing? Why are you trying? And despite these thoughts and despite how hard it was to get through today, I did, which is fucking amazing. And for anyone that does suffer from mental health, you know, half the struggle is just getting on with the day. And for those of you who don't, I really wish that I knew what that was like. And I'm so thankful that there's no one else close to me that has to go through this, but it's like getting through the normal shitstorm that is life, getting through the clusterfuck that is 2020, and then adding this weight, adding this person on top of you that is overbearing and suffocating and telling you all these things, and still having to sit there and just get shit done. So that's the reason I'm recording. I know that's not really, that's a long story and a long way to go about this, but I don't know. I got home and I just wanted to talk. And I wanted to talk to you guys, and I wanted to talk to myself. So it felt right. It felt like, all right, tonight's the night. We're going to tackle number 3, symptom number 3. And this is a big one. I think it kind of relates to what I experienced today. But number 3 for BPD is unclear or shifting self-image. This means that someone with BPD often struggles with their identity or their sense of self. For me, this is definitely something I can relate to in terms of my entire life, just kind of feeling really lost. So someone with borderline personality, they're not entirely certain about why this develops and, you know, why certain kids who may be susceptible to developing BPD do and others don't. You know, like my brother and I grew up in the same environment. I obviously have borderline. He obviously doesn't. He's a very different thinker to who I am. And the difficulty with BPD is, as much as there's a genetic component to it, and you know, I have the genetic component to bipolar as well, which is another one of my disorders, but for BPD, a lot of the things that you develop and a lot of the symptoms that you now experience in adulthood or as an adolescent start emerging when you're younger and not receiving that emotional kind of response that you needed in those times. So I think for me personally, in terms of the unclear or shifting self-image, I think I keep having this one memory of me as a child. And, you know, I grew up with this amazingly big, loving family. All my cousins were as close as siblings. And I never really thought about this moment, but when I started learning more about BPD and I got diagnosed and I saw this symptom, and I was talking to the psychiatrist about it, we definitely pulled apart some things that, you know, those early signs for this development, for this process, this thought pattern in my mind. And not all kids display these kind of things, or it can be a minor symptom, it can be a major symptom. But yeah, there was this one moment where, you know, we're in this family setting, so a super safe place. The boys were outside playing footy and the girls were inside playing with dolls. As stereotypical as that sounds, that's what happened. And it must have been like Easter or something, someone's birthday, I'm not too sure, but we're all in this house. And I just remember feeling completely overwhelmed. And I think that might have been the first time I truly had an anxiety attack. And I was quite young. I might have been about no older than 8, if that. But I specifically remember going outside because I wanted to play football with the boys. And the boys were being boys and they were older than me. And they were just like, no, girls can't play football. It is what it is. Go inside and play with the girls. And I just remember walking into this room with the girls and not feeling like I belonged there. And I'm pretty sure I spent the rest of whatever this day was, for whatever reason we're together, I spent the rest of this day crying and locked in one of my cousin's rooms just because I was so overwhelmed, because I didn't feel like I fit in. I felt like, you know, I didn't belong with the boys and I didn't belong with the girls, and I couldn't figure out who I was in that moment. And it was the most intense thing I'd felt as a kid. And you know, memories are subjective, so I'm probably remembering aspects of this differently or whatever it may be. But as soon as I started discussing this with my psych, that one memory, that one moment came to my mind. And I was so young. I was so young to have these thought processes of, I don't belong, I'm not okay, something's wrong with me. And you know, that would have been my first ever anxiety attack or panic attack. And obviously my parents and my aunties and my grandparents, they just did not know how to respond to me. And it's not that, you know, they didn't love me. They loved me more than anything in the world. And I, you know, I'm very lucky in the sense that I had the most amazing upbringing and I had loving parents. And, you know, I never felt like I wasn't okay. But the response mechanism for a child that's in the middle of a family event who locks themselves in someone else's room, you know, crying and just kind of not being able to explain themselves, it wasn't a great moment for anyone. And you know, there's no book on how a parent should respond to a child with BPD, you know, why these reactions happen in a child with BPD that are so different and so blown out of proportion compared to, let's say, my brother. And this is nothing against them, and this is nothing against, you know, my brother. I'm so, so happy that neither of my brothers do experience this. But yeah, it's just an example of something that instability in myself, that unclear thought process, this constant fighting, is something that I'm born with. And I think that's something that you and I need to understand. It's not like I sit here going, oh, you know what? Let's flip the switch. Today, I'm going to be a different person. Today, I'm just going to change everything in my life that I thought I was, and we're going to be a new person. Because that's not the case. The case is, the fact is that there's just this huge struggle with identity. And And I can't speak on behalf of everyone who has BPD, but for myself, there is a constant battle, and this goes back to what happened today. There's this constant battle of two voices, two very distinct, different voices in my head. And they are constantly at war. And one of them, you know, wants to go do all the things and go achieve all the goals and be amazing and do all the things. But there's this other voice. And there's always been this other voice that kind of stood there and was telling me, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? Why are you trying? Or why are you doing this now? Wouldn't you rather be doing that? Like, that's not good enough. This is what you need to be doing. It's so difficult to explain, but that's what it's like. It never switches off. And I think that's something you need to understand about borderline. It just never stops. And, you know, having this memory, this moment where I was so young and already questioning who I was, I don't think there was a moment since then that that thought process had switched up. So for me, this shifting self-image or this unclear self-image in myself was definitely one of the symptoms that, you know, I first expressed and developed. And speaking to my parents openly about this as well, they definitely saw that quite frequently in me as a child. You know, they saw these huge shifts in my goals and my attitude and my friendship groups and all these kind of things were constantly changing. And they had my younger brother, who was very like straight on the arrow, like had his way, was calm, was set in this one direction his whole life, and he was okay. And I, to them, was running amok and jumping between this and that and this and that and wanting to do everything. And, you know, when I got overwhelmed, I would cry and then just lock myself in my room. It was a whole ordeal as a child, even worse as a pubescent teenager. And, you know, in adulthood is when I had already developed these habits per se. So when I became an adult, this is when those habits, you know, started affecting things in my life, my job, my friends, my relationships, and most importantly, me. Because as a female, we already know how hard it is to grow up in a world where, you know, self-image is such a big part of who we are. But already having those feelings and those doubts, and then growing up in this environment where you have to be a certain person, you have to look a certain way. And I'm not what other kids look like when I went to school. I went to a very Australian school. I was very, you know, dark skin, dark eyes, dark features. So, you know, these small little factors in my life are things that they think contribute to BPD. For me, it's just this sense of self I've never been able to grasp. And, you know, this having this self-worth to, you know, truly love yourself. That idea always seemed really nice, but not something that was for me. So with borderline, sometimes you do feel really good. You feel so immensely great about yourself. You feel like you can take on the world, you've got all the confidence in the world. You know, your self-love is so big that it's almost mistaken for like having a big ego. And in these moments, you know, it often draws you into doing and accomplishing things and checking off these goals. And you start like these new journeys. I think for me, it was always, I'm going to start a comp prep. And as soon as I hit that wall and switched into the borderline personality, which I obviously wasn't aware of prior to my diagnosis, but I'm becoming a bit more aware of this kind of shift in who I am and shift in my identity, being the borderline personality and me constantly fighting. So, you know, when you do feel good and you feel like, that's it, this is it, it's over. And it honestly feels like that. There's like these moments where you're like, overwhelmed with this whole like, holy crap, I'm out. Oh my gosh, why am I out? Don't know. I'm just going to go with it. I feel great. And you do. Of course, this isn't the reality of borderline personality. So as much as you have these moments where you feel good, like we spoke about in episode one, there's this like hypersensitivity to us, right? So the borderline, plus I'm the bipolar, when I feel good about myself, I will have these like long-term episodes almost where I am on the ball. You know, I'm up at 4 a.m. I'm training twice a day. I'm working full-time. I'm studying as well. I'm doing a comp prep. I'm whatever it is. And it's like you go all out because you're like, oh my gosh, the other voice has stopped. Why was I doubting myself? You kind of almost forget what it was like to have that second voice in your head and you just go ham. You just go balls to wall as hard as you can. But the reality is with borderline, even after therapy, this for a symptom that's so prominent in a patient with borderline, it's something that you're always going to struggle with. So as much as you have these moments where you're like, oh my gosh, I love myself. And I think a lot of my friends in adulthood have seen this. There was definitely times where I'm like, I'm the best. I own my ego. I own my confidence. I'm all over the socials. I'm, you know, doing me, not giving a fuck about what's going on around me. And I think they've watched that switch as well. They've watched that suddenly, that self-doubt and that lack of worth overcome me so quickly. It's like this wave. And it's overwhelming to not only them, but me. So before I got diagnosed, it was a very complicated thing for me to explain. It was a very intense emotion that I think, and I may be wrong, but I think a lot of people thought I was pretending or being fake or being something I wasn't, because I always showed different personas and I always switched and all this kind of stuff, but it wasn't even that. Me inside myself, I just felt like I was at war and I was just a body that had no control over my mind or my emotions, and I just kind of had to go with whichever one was stronger because I was tired and I'm still tired, but I'm being better about fighting those two voices. And that's why I felt like recording today, because you know, this voice that was trying to win today, I shut that motherfucker down and I was able to do it. I was able to get on with my day and I accomplished like the smallest task in the world, but I didn't have an episode. And you kind of got to take every little win like that. Especially when you're in the like the depths of the borderline personality. Okay, so kind of went on tangent there. So going back to borderline and this unclear self-image, there are definitely times where you completely flip and you just hate yourself. You can often view yourself as evil, which is a strange thing to describe it as, but that's exactly what it's like. And you know, in the recent months, actually, I was having this conversation with someone and trying to kind of explain what was going on in my head. This was like very fresh after getting diagnosed, maybe like a month. And, you know, I was trying to explain to this person, I can't start a friendship with you. I can't do anything. I just can't do it because I'm going to ruin your life. That's honestly what my thought process was. And I've often said this to my friends, I'm just ruining their lives. I feel, and I still do, because this is where I'm at and that's okay, but I feel like I am constantly just dragging people down. And because I do love so much, it hurts so immensely that I am putting these things on my friends, or I constantly feel like I'm ruining their lives and they would be better off without me. And, you know, this thought process, this severe hate, this severe lack of self-worth is what overcomes me. A good 70%, if not more, of my life, that's been my thought process. And it's not to say that there hasn't been good moments, because there definitely has been, you know, the other 30% or so where I've been me, what I think is me. I'm still trying to figure out who is me, who's not me, it's borderline, all that kind of mess and jumble that I'm in. But, you know, there's definitely been those good moments, but predominantly for a majority of my life, I've always thought I was a burden. And that's the unfortunate truth of borderline personality. It's not that this person, you know, necessarily wants to hurt themselves or take their lives or, you know, go into complete shutdown mode. But it's that we view ourselves so low. We view ourselves so harshly. In terms of people around us, and we love the people around us so much that when we feel like we're taking something from them or affecting their life even in the slightest way, to us it feels like you are just a bad person, you are just a bad human, and you don't deserve to be here, and you know, your best friends deserve better than you. And you should either be better or just fuck off. And I know this is a very intense thing to hear, especially to my friends and family listening to this, but I think you need to understand that this is the reality of borderline. And there's so many podcasts and videos and stuff out there which discuss these things in, I guess, a nicer way and a more scientific way, but that's not what I'm here for. I'm here for the hard and fast truth and to be raw and to be myself. And, you know, I'm in the midst and the depths of the borderline. I haven't got into the therapy yet. I've just found my diagnosis out a few months ago. Like, we're in the middle of it. And I thought it'd be kind of a nice thing. Nice? Is that the word? It'd be something that I could reflect on. Is a better term, reflect on later on and be like, you know, that's how I was feeling, or, you know, maybe that's how I'll still be feeling, who knows. But I wanted something that explained how I really feel and not bullshit and not sugarcoat it, because this is real and mental health is real. And I think it should be okay to have an open conversation without people getting, you know, turned off by the word suicide or self-harm. We're not attention seeking. We're not, you know, doing this because we don't feel loved. For someone with borderline, you just love so immensely fast and deep that causing any person in your life, even the slightest bit of hurt, makes you feel, guys, I can't even describe. It makes you feel like you are a grain of sand on this planet that is not worth anything. You are less than. You should just not be here. And you for me, it gets to this irrational brain of, you know, I've taken someone's spot on Earth. Someone that was worthy of being here. I've taken their spot. I'm a bad person, and that is it. That is the end of story. So they are very, very contrasting views of yourself. And I think that's the main thing to understand with borderline. A lot of the time our thought processes are very conflicting and contrasting, and we can't distinguish which one is the right one and which one is the wrong one. And there's not necessarily a right or wrong, because even speaking about it, both these ideas feel right to me, And I mean, right now I'm, you know, leaning towards a 70%, and I'm on the other side where I'm not feeling confident, I'm not feeling the love for myself, and that's okay, that's where I'm at. But it's not always that one part of your self-image is experienced in the one time. So as much as you can have these periods where you do go balls to wall hard because you feel great about yourself, more often than not, you actually have these two complex, conflicting personalities running through your brain at the same time. And for someone with borderline, it can switch in manners of moments. It can switch in minutes, days, weeks. It doesn't necessarily have to be a month-long period. And that's the difference between someone with borderline personality and someone with bipolar. I'm bipolar too, which is a little bit different and something kind of in between. But we're not going to complicate it. We're just keeping it simple. So someone with borderline, their switches are quite significantly close together and they're quite severe. Someone with bipolar do have these mood changes, but they're over a longer period of time. So because they're in a longer period of time, it's not that one mental illness is worse than another or anything like that. They're both terrible. They're both completely difficult. But someone with borderline, because that switch is so immediate, you know, it can go from, and this is speaking from my experience, it can go from having a good day, you know, at work with my colleagues, with my friends, whatever it may be, having kind of like a good day, everyone's like, sweet, Rosh is good. Rosh is on the outs. She's good. She's got this. She's fine. You know, to me, going home, and I mean, this is something that happened to me, you know, like I was good. I felt fine all day. I got on the bus. I was like, oh, I feel a little bit off. It's all good. To snapping, having an episode where I don't remember, and then waking up at the hospital. So that switch is so intensely fast that it often is quite dangerous. Us not being able to establish this self-image, this grounding point, makes things like meditation really hard. Because when you're trying to, you know, figure out your center and your point to hold on to and get grounded again, it's so difficult. Because not only is it a mental struggle, but for me, it's an entire body struggle. It's like when my borderline is there, I can't physically function. It's like I have no control. So when I'm reaching for meditation or my panic SOS app, it's quite difficult to ground myself, because you need that solid sense of identity to find that place, that inner peace. But even to my stomach, or you know, when meditation guides you through your body, it's so difficult for me to just feel sensory things in my fingers, toes, stomach, let alone my mind. And that's when things get dangerous. So there's this thing with borderline and this shifting image. There's obviously ramifications, big life ramifications. And as small as that child, you know, me as a child example was, and, you know, it just came down to the fact I want to play footy, couldn't play footy, got really lost, had anxiety attack, didn't know what that was, freaked out. So, you know, stuff like that, yes, they're signs that something was wrong and that my thought process was very different. But as a child, and even as a teenager, you're generally in a safer place. You're generally in a place where, you know, having this kind of lost identity is part of growing up, and it's kind of brushed off as, you know, you're just trying to figure out who you are. You're trying to figure out what you want to do. You're young. That's what being young is for. You know, do you want to be the goth kid? Do you want to be the nerdy kid? Like, that's what being young is for, right? But when you get to adulthood, you kind of, you're kind of always fighting these two ideas of yourself. Not even two, sometimes there's more. I don't know, there's like a few up there going crazy at times, but you're constantly fighting who you are and figuring out who you are and trying to jump into as many things as possible. And it makes it quite hard to succeed at anything because you're not, like I said, you're not grounded. You don't know who you are. You don't know what the right thing to do is. And you're often jumping. You're here, you're there. You love this, you love that. You love this person, you love that person. It's an intense experience. So often you just don't have a clear idea of who you are or what you want in life. You know, you can do the things, you can, you know, I finished my degree, I went overseas, I did great things, and there's no doubting that, but this point of trying to understand and communicate my BPD for myself mostly, but also for you guys, has obviously given me time to sit back and reflect and look at these moments from an outside perspective and be like, holy shit, you know what? That girl was super lost. This girl is still super lost. This woman is super lost. I just cannot for the life of me figure out who I am. And that scares the fuck out of me. It is so heartbreaking to be 26 and not know who you are or who you're meant to be, or if you're even good enough to be here, to do any of that, to even bother or even try, right? So I think from what you guys need to understand is, as a result of this, as a result of not being able to have this clear self-image in yourself, you frequently change, you know, jobs, friends, lovers, in some people I've heard religion is a big thing, values is another, that's a big one. For me, this is a very prominent feature of an example, it's goals. So goals can often change. And I mean, something that I'm trying to figure out at the moment is the fact that, you know, this unclear or shifting self-image can also result in a change in your sexual identity. So I'm figuring that one out. We're gonna sidebar that. But yeah, so these things like the change of jobs is often why it's hard for someone with borderline personality to kind of succeed in this one career, because I mean, this kind of relates to symptom one and two as well. So this like building of relationships is really hard for us. So when we act shitty or do behavior, which is obviously unacceptable in the workplace, it's hard to stick to a job. And the fear of abandonment as well. It's like, once you start succeeding, you feel like it's all going to be taken away of you. That's not just about interpersonal relationships. That's about professional relationships as well. And you know, your success in these, in this professional environment, you feel like that's going to be taken away from you. So you act out. And it's insane. It's insane to kind of be at this point where I am right now, being able to articulate BPD and understand myself a lot more in terms of this one symptom that has been presiding over me for literally as long as I can remember. And it's something that I've definitely struggled with in terms of having clear goals. And we've already touched base on, you know, me changing friendships quite quickly, and that's not something that I enjoy, but it's something that happens, and I can't really, I mean, I'm taking ownership for it, but I can't really explain the hurt and the reason for the change. It's not like I stopped loving people. It just hurts too much to be around these people. So I have to move on. And that goes for my partners as well. Like, my romantic relationships are obviously such a big aspect of the borderline, and obviously the most affected during my borderline personality, especially during episodes. But I think in this episode, what I really want to discuss was, you know, the shifting self-image of someone with borderline affecting other aspects of our lives. You know, not just relationships, which we spoke quite heavily about in episode 1 and 2, but literally just every aspect of our life. Goals is a massive one for me. And, you know, only in the last couple of years, I've definitely, you know, the friends around me, who a couple of them are now my safeties and are trying to understand better, and I've been really good about communicating with them, I think, to the best of my extent. But they would have seen these kind of shifts in goals. So like, one minute I wanted to do fitness modeling, next I wanted to jump in the ring for a fight, the next I want to do powerlifting, and that's just my fitness goals, let alone my career goals. I was like, oh, I want to do sales, I want to do fitness, I want to do PTing, I want to do management. And it's not necessarily a bad thing, because I'm very proud of where I've progressed to. Holy shit, I just said I was proud of something I did. That's a big moment, guys. That never happens. But it is this conflicting wanting to have all these goals, you know. So I'd be working full-time, I want to study, then I start doing courses, then I was doing courses of a completely random thing and just kind of feeling lost. And then there was a moment where I was like, oh fuck, I just want to quit everything and start my own business. And I was like, oh nah, actually I want to manage. It is very fucking hard for someone with BPD to just stop, take a moment, breathe, and focus on one goal at a time. And that's why we need the support groups. It's to keep us on that kind of clear path when we get stuck in our heads and start questioning who we are. And I mean, everyone questions who they are, and growing is a part of life and all that kind of stuff. But this, the difference is there's these 2, 3, sometimes 4 voices. And it's not like they're, you know, having opposing ideas and sweetly talking it out and coming to a conclusion. No, there's 2 separate conclusions and 2 separate thought processes that aren't working together. So they just can't find this clear definition of what the next step is for themselves. In saying all this, I am very lucky at the moment, especially because I have this support network that are not only understanding, but have gone above and beyond in my professional life, and a kind of, you know, when I'm having moments of me, I'm asking them things like, please don't let me quit. Do not accept anything. If I say I quit in a moment where I'm not okay, don't accept that. And that's a crazy thing to go to your boss and ask to do, but they've just been so understanding about the fact that sometimes, I mean most of the time, to be honest, I just don't feel good enough to be there. I don't feel good enough to not only be in the work environment, but to hang out with these people or be around my friends or, you know, be with a new person and be someone's partner. I just don't have that stability and that love. And that stems from the fact that I am still trying to figure out who I'm meant to be and which side of my thought process I'm meant to listen to. Because it's not like I have this idea that I'm like, oh, I know that's the wrong thought, so I'm just going to push that aside and go on with my logical brain. No, I feel so intensely that I'm like, fuck, how can the emotional brain be the wrong thought processor? And how can my logical brain also make so much sense? I think the main thing to understand is it is just exhausting, and it is heartbreaking. So as much as you see these points where it's like she just doesn't care, she doesn't care about herself, she doesn't want to be here, fine, whatever, let her be. But it's not even that, it's the fact that you can break your own heart. And me feeling like I don't know who I am, you know, with such big life things as well. Like, I've always had this idea that I wanted to be a mum, and then you know, a couple of years ago, I decided I didn't want to be, and then, like, now I want to be. It's just these massive aspects of life that you see and you watch around you in so many people, and they just have such clear values and clear ideas and certainty about what they want in life. It's hard for me. It's so hard for me to sit here and be completely sure of something. I'm always second guessing myself. I'm always doubting myself. And yeah, it just comes from the fact that with borderline, you just have this constant shifting image and this identity crisis. That's a phrase I've been using lately, because I have, for the last few weeks, been feeling like I'm having an identity crisis. I'm pinpointing and picking apart every little moment of my life where something happened, and I'm like, fuck, what if I stuck with this, or what if I did that instead? What if I didn't have borderline? What if I didn't have this hate for myself, or, you know, in that moment have so much love for myself and I didn't do those things, then what would be different? So who the fuck am I? Yeah, it's just tiring. It honestly is just tiring. And I just really can't wait to do the therapy and kind of be able to figure out a little bit more about myself. Yeah. So that's me signing off on this one. I know this was kind of an unexpected podcast. This is unexpected for me. I wasn't meant to be recording until a few more days. I had planned for 3 days. To be back in my little home studio doing this, but it felt right today, and I hope I got my point across about this. Again, if you have any questions, just hit me up. I will try answer to the best of my ability. If you do know someone that is struggling with BPD, or you're getting to know someone with BPD and you just do not understand and they can't really articulate how they're feeling, reach out. I'll try my best. And I mean, every single person is completely different, but generally we do experience the same 9 symptoms. So if there's something that they're just not being able to get across, I will honestly try my hardest to get that across to you. And if you are an outsider just trying to learn more information and all that kind of stuff, I can give you a whole scientific spiel if you like, but that's not what this podcast is for. This podcast is, I guess, just the raw, real shit of mental health and the reality of it and how hard it is to kind of get on with daily life. So shout out to all the people that are struggling with themselves or their mental health and just getting through the day and getting through fucking 2020, because this shit be fucked. And I know I've sworn a lot on this podcast, but I think that's me coping today. So we're just gonna take it. But yeah, signing off today, guys. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next time.